Hello, everyone. We are continuing on with Thomas Manton, an exposition with notes upon the Epistle of James. And last time we did verse 16, do not err, my beloved brethren. And 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and neither shadow of turning. And so, Lord willing, we're going to continue on with verse 18 in this reading. And I'll go ahead and start now. Verse 18, of his own good will begat he us by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The apostle shows that his main aim was to set forth God as the author of spiritual gifts and therefore instances in regeneration. So he'll go through the phrases of the verse here first. Of his own good will, because he would, or being willing. The word is put, number one, to deny compulsion or necessity. God needs not to save anyone. And number two, to exclude merit. We could not oblige him to it. It was merely the good pleasure of God. For the word there is equivalent to that which Paul calls the natural bent or purpose and inclination of God's heart to do the creatures good, Ephesians 1:11. It is called the counsel of his will, and elsewhere, abundant mercy, 1 Peter 1:3. Out of his abundant mercy, he hath begotten us to a lively hope. In other places, the pleasure of the Father. Begat he us? A word that properly imports natural generation, and sometimes it is put for creation. And so as we are men, we are said to be his offspring, Acts 17:28. And indeed, so some take it here, applying these words to God's creating and forming us and making men to be his first fruits or the choicest piece in the whole creation. Or as Zoroaster called him, the masterpiece of overdaring nature. But this is beside the scope, I guess, or outside the scope, for he speaks of such a begetting as is by the word of truth, which in the next verse he makes to be an argument of more conscience and sense of duty of hearing. Therefore, a begetting is put to imply the work of grace upon our souls. The same metaphor is elsewhere used, 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth forever. So 1 Peter 1:3, begotten to a lively hope. I have brought these two places to show you the two parts of the work of grace. The one is by which we are begotten, and the other by which we are born again. The one is God's act purely. The other implies the manifestation of life in ourselves, a distinction that serves to clear some controversies in religion. But I go on with my work. He continues on. The next phrase, by the word of truth. Here is the instrument noted. Those that refer this verse to the creation understand it of Jesus Christ, who is the eternal uncreated word of the Father, and by him were all things made. See 1 John 1 and 2 and Hebrews 1, 3, etc. But clearly it is meant of the gospel, which is often called the word of truth, and is the ordinary means whereby God begets us to himself. That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Those that apply the verse to the creation say the apostle means here that man was the choicest, chiefest part of it, for all things are subjected to him and put under his feet, Psalm 8. But I conceive it notes rather the dignity and prerogative of the regenerate, for as it was the privilege of the first fruits of all the sheaves to be consecrated, so believers and converts among all men were set aside for the uses and purposes of God. The first fruits of all things were the Lord's, number one, partly to testify his right in that people, and number two, partly for a witness of their thankfulness. They, having received all from him, were to give him this acknowledgement. Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thy increase. This was the honor and homage they were to give to God. Now, this is everywhere attributed to the people of God, as to Israel, because they were God's peculiar people called out from all the nations, Jeremiah 2, verse 3. The first fruits of his increase is holiness to the Lord. That is, of all people, they were dedicated to God. So the holy worshipers, figured by those virgins in Revelation 14:4, are said to be redeemed from among men to be first fruits unto God and the Lamb. These were the chiefest Christ's own portion. So the church is called, Hebrews 12:23, the church of the firstborn, and all the world are as common men, and the church are the Lord's. Now the points are these. Observation number one. That which engages God to the work of regeneration was merely his own will and good pleasure. Of his own will begat he us. Romans 9:18. He hath mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. God's will is the reason of all his actions. You will find the highest cause to be will, love, and mercy. God can have no higher motive, nothing without himself, no foresight of faith and works. He was merely inclined by his own pleasure. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. He begins with us first. When Moses treats of the cause of God's love to Israel, he assigns nothing but love. Deuteronomy 7:7-8, he loved you because he loved you. He had no motive and can expect no satisfaction. So Psalm 18, verse 19, he delivered me because he delighted in me. That was all the reason he did it, because he would do it. Hosea 14:4, I will love them freely. There is the spring and rise of all. This is applicable diverse ways, or several ways. Number one, to stir us up to admire the mercy of God, that nothing should incline and dispose his heart but his own will, the same will that begat us and passed by others, whom he will he saves, and whom he will he hardens. Man's thoughts are very unsober in the inquiry why God should choose some and leave others. When you have done all, and looked into this as far as you can, you must rest in this supreme cause, God's will and pleasure. Matthew 11:26, even so, Father, because it pleased thee. Christ himself could give no other reason, and there is the final result of all disputes. Oh, admire God, all ye his saints, in his mercy to you. This circumstance gives us the purest apprehensions of the freeness of God's love, when you see that it was God's own will that determined mercy to you and made the difference between you and others. Nay, in some respects, it puts a difference between you and Christ. The goodwill of the Father slays you and saves others. He willed Christ's death and your salvation. In the same verse, Christ's bruises and our salvation are called God's pleasure. Isaiah 53:10, it pleased the Father to bruise him. And then my pleasure, that is, in the salvation of the elect, shall prosper in his hands. Number two, it informs us the reason why, in the work of regeneration, God acts with such liberty. God acts according to his pleasure. The Holy One of Israel must not be limited and confined to our thoughts. John 3, verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth. All is not done after one tenor, but according to the will of the free spirit, as in giving means, you must leave God to his will. There are mighty works in Chorazin and Bethsaida when there are none in Tyre and Sidon. Israel had statutes and ordinances when all the world had nothing but the glimmering candle of their own reason. So for the work of the Spirit with the means, some have only the means, and others have the work of the Spirit with the means. John 14:22, how is it that thou wilt reveal thyself unto us and not unto the world? They have choice revelations. The spouse is brought into the closet, Canticles or Song of Solomon 1 verse 3, when the virgins or common Christians stay only in the palace of the great king. Do but observe two places. Acts 9, 7, it is said of Paul's companions that they heard a voice, and yet in Acts 22, 9, it is said, they that were with him heard not the voice. Solomon Glacius reconciles these two places in this way. They heard a sound, but they did not hear it distinctly as Christ's voice. Some only hear the outward sound, the voice of man, but not of the Spirit in the Word. There is a great deal of difference in the same auditories. So two people hearing the same thing, it has a different effect if the Spirit's working there versus if he isn't. So also for the measure of grace, to some more is given, to some less. Though all have a vital influence, yet all have not the same measure of arbitrary influences. Philippians 2:13, he giveth both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. So for the manner, it is very diverse and various. God begins with some in love and with others by terrors, plucking them out of the fire. Some are gained by a cross in affliction, others by mercy. Some are caught by a holy guile, as the apostle says of the Corinthians, and others are brought in more sensibly, or they can sense it, and with greater consternation. Upon some the Spirit comes like a gentle blast, grace insinuates itself. Upon others like a mighty rushing wind with great terror and enforcement. So for the time, some are longer in the birth and wait at the pool for many years. Others are surprised and gained of a sudden. Canticles, again, Song of Solomon 6:12. Ere I was aware, before I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Aminadab. Therefore, we should not limit God to any one instance, but still wait upon him in the use of means for his good pleasure to our souls. And so again, we can only look into this so far and end up having to rest on God's sovereignty in these things and thank him for his mercies. And then continue to wait for his salvation as these things happen according to his will in his time and according to his pleasure. All right, observation number two, that the calling of a soul to God is, as it were, a new begetting and regeneration. He begat us. There must be a new framing and making, for all is out of order, and there is no active influence and concurrence of our will. Therefore, grace is called, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation. All was a chaos and vast emptiness before. So elsewhere, it is expressed by being born again, John 3, verse 5. And so believers are called Christ's seed, Isaiah 53:10. The point being obvious, I shall the less stay on it. It is useful, though, number one, to show us the horrible defilement and deprivation of our nature. Mending and repairing would not serve the turn, but God must new make and new create us and beget us again. Like the house infected with leprosy, scraping will not serve the turn. It must be pulled down and built up again. They mince the matter that say, of nature, as those of the damsel, she is not dead but sleepeth, as if it were a languor or a swoon into which Adam and his posterity fell. No, it was a death, and therefore are those two notions of creation and resurrection solemnly consecrated by the Spirit of God to express our regeneration or new birth. And number two, to show us that we are merely passive in our conversion, it is a begetting, and we, as the infant in the womb, contribute nothing to our own forming. Psalm 100, verse 4, it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We had no hand in it. Number three, it shows us two properties of conversion. First, there will be life. The effect of generation is life. Natural men are said, in Ephesians 4, 18, to be alienated from the life of God. They are altogether strangers to the motions and operations of the Spirit. But now, when the soul is begotten, there will be acting and moving and spiritual feeling. The soul will not be so dead toward God. Paul says, Galatians 2:20, not I live, but Christ liveth in me. A man cannot have interest in Christ, but he will receive life from him. And second, there will be a change. At the first, God brings in the holy frame, all the seeds of grace, and therefore there will be a change of profane, carnal, careless hearts. They are made spiritual, heavenly, holy. Ephesians 5:8, ye were darkness, but now are light in the Lord. You see, there is a vast difference. If men remain the same, how can they be said to be begotten? They are filthy still, carnal still, worldly still. There will be at least a desolation of the old forms and frames of spirit. Observation 3, it is the proper work of God to beget us. He begat. It is sometimes ascribed to God the Father, as here and so in other places, to God the Son. Believers are his seed, Isaiah 53:10. Sometimes to the Spirit, John 3, verse 6. God the Father's will, of his own will begat he us. God the Son's merit, through his obedience we have the adoption of sons, Galatians 4, verse 5. And God the Spirit's efficacy, or making it effective, by his overshadowing the soul, is the new creature hatched and brought forth. It is ascribed to all the three persons together in one place, Titus 3, 5, and 6, by his mercy he hath saved us through the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ. In another place you have two persons mentioned, Ephesians 2, verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works. It is true the ministers of the gospel are said to beget, but it is as they are instruments in God's hands. So Paul says, I beget you, 1 Corinthians 4:15, and of Onesimus, he says, whom I begat in my bonds, Philemon 10. God loves to put his own honor many times upon the instruments. Well then, number one, remove false causes. You cannot beget yourselves. That were monstrous. You must look up above self and above means to God, who must form you after his own image. It is said in John 1:13 that we are begotten not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Not in the outward impure way that is meant by the not of blood, nor by the will of the flesh, that is, in the carnal manner as man begets man to satisfy a fleshly will or desire, nor of the will of man, that is, any workings or desires of our will, but only by the power of the Spirit, for the intent of that place is to remove gross thoughts and wrong causes, that we might apprehend it right or correctly for the nature of it and look up to the right cause of it. Number two, it shows what an honorable relation we are invested with by the new birth. He begat us. God is our Father that engages his love and bowels and care and everything that can be dear and refreshing to the creature. Matthew 6:32, your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things. This relation is often urged by the children of God. Isaiah 63:16, doubtless thou art our Father, though Abraham be ignorant of us. There is comfort in a father, much more in a heavenly father. Evil men may be good fathers, Matthew 7:11. They cannot but obey those natural and fatherly impressions that are upon their bowels. How much more will a good God be a good father? None can be so good and so much a father as he. Observation number four, the ordinary means whereby God begets us is the gospel. He begat us by the word of truth, 1 Corinthians 4:15. I have begotten you in Jesus Christ through the gospel. There is the instrument, the author, the means. The instrument, Paul, I have begotten you, the means, by the gospel, and the author, in Jesus Christ. So 1 Peter 1:23, begotten by the incorruptible seed of the word. The word is, as it were, the seed, which being engrafted in the heart, springs up in obedience. It is by the word and that part of the word which is properly called the gospel. Moses may bring us to the borders, but Joshua leads us into the land of Canaan. The law may prepare and make the way, but that which conveys the grace of conversion is properly the gospel. Well, then, let us wait upon God in the use of the word. It is not good to balk the known and ordinary ways of grace. Wisdom's dole is given at wisdom's gates. Proverbs 8:34, blessed is he that watcheth always at my gates. It was a great advantage to the decrepit man to lie still at the pool, John chapter 5. God's means will prove successful in God's time. Urge your souls with the necessity of the means. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17. Without grace I cannot be saved, without the word I cannot have grace. Reason thus within yourselves, that you may awaken the soul to a greater conscience and sense of waiting upon God in the word. It is true, the divine grace does all. He begets us. But remember, it is by the word of truth. The influences of the heavens make fruitful seasons, but yet plowing is necessary. So it rains, and it helps things be fruitful, but plowing is necessary. It is one of the sophisms of this age to urge the Spirit's efficacy as a plea for the neglect of the means. And so he's speaking against that, and people in their sophistries say, oh, you don't need the means. It'll just come by the Spirit. And that's ordinarily not exactly true. God uses the means of the Word with the Spirit's efficiency. All right, that is the end of observation 4. And because observation 5 goes on for a while, we're going to go ahead and stop for this reading. And Lord willing, continue on next time. But until then, go in seeking God, in his word, and resting alone in Christ's righteousness and in his sovereignty. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you again soon.